Yes, morning or Tuesday, April 16, the Big Sports Breakfast, Sky Sports Radio and Radio Tab. A very good morning to wherever and however you are listening. And yes, as you heard in the intro, off the bench and straight into the starting 13. Brad Rosen and Stewie Clark in with Loz over in Singapore for a couple of days with the International Rugby League advancing the game's interests, and Pup over at the IPL. What was that look, Stewie? Morning to you, mate.
Morning, everyone. Advancing the game of rugby. Well, that'll do.
Well, that's what he said at the end of the show yesterday.
That's a junk. Look, he's on a junket in Singapore having a good time. Let's call a spade, eh? But morning, everyone. It's interesting just sort of getting up. So, you know, the footy's going on. There's so much footy going on. Where do you start? I don't even know where to start with footy.
News juggernaut, isn't it?
It's the gift that just keeps on giving. There's not a day that goes by that something... Dez blowing up at Ricky. Ricky blowing up at Dez. Hey, what was that about? Like, seriously.
How good's a good coach, Spat? It's the best.
What really amazed me last night was the discussion around, oh, they swore at one another in the tunnel. Have you met a rugby league bloke that doesn't swear at one another? It's a term of endearment. If they're not swearing at you, they don't like you.
Yeah.
Oh, I just laugh when I heard that. But I'm just going to get in early too. Go those Kings!
Yeah. How are you, Brad?
Mate, I'm fantastic. Loving life. It's awesome. And like you said, those old style coaches, they're the best. They are the best. I love them. Big fan of Ricky. Oh. My Roosters in 2002 bought us a premiership, eh? God bless him.
Do we want to talk about the next two grand finals?
No, let's not speak to those.
God. But, yeah, I mean, Ricky was at pains to point out that, you know, he and Dez are mates still. He's told Michael Chemis last night ahead 100% footy. But, yeah, I mean, the fallout's continuing from this 21-20 match. The Raiders beating the Titans on Sunday night. So Dean Ritchie in the Telegraph has written that Dez Hasler, after his post-match media conference, went and waited outside the Raiders' dressing room for Ricky Stewart. And he told the Raiders coach what he'd said to the media. And Stewart's response in the Telegraph is, F you, we should have got another 15-6 again. So I'm going to go hard in there news conference. So he was due to go next. And since then, you know, I saw Michael Chemis on 100% footy last night say that he'd spoken to Ricky and said, look, just... reiterate, I'm still mates with Dez. I mean, they went played for Australia together.
Absolutely.
In, you know, 1990, the Kangaroo Tour and all that. But, yeah, obviously, you're going to defend
like
your team
after
to the
game,
hill,
the heat of the battle. You know, like, there's no common sense goes on in those locker rooms at that stage.
They have a spat every day.
Absolutely.
next time they see one another, they'll probably have 15 schooners each and be hugging, singing.
They probably did last night.
Telling everyone how good life is. So let's not make a big deal out of this. Oh, they'll never talk to one another. A lot of garbage. The next time they see one another, they'll be chatting away. And then when the coaches get together for their little, you know, I imagine they're on some sort of committee. They're on a junket to Singapore now to advance the interests of the game or something. That'll be fine.
I'm a fan of changing the golden point, though, to a golden try.
I'm with you.
Yeah, really? I'm a fan of that. Yeah. Just the other day, it's just hit up, kick.
Well, the whole game changes.
Please God someone kicks it dead so you get your seven and go for a drop goal.
It's a debate that comes up, I reckon, twice a year.
Yeah.
And usually after all, we had multiple golden point games on the weekend, so hence it's been a big topic since the weekend. But I'm with you. And I know we've had a couple of callers yesterday suggest different points as far as I think someone yesterday, I think it was Steve, said, well, let's make it 3 points now for a win. If you win in golden point, 2 points. If you lose in golden point, 1 point.
I heard
that. What if you win in golden point with a try?
Yeah, two and a half to half.
Yeah, I don't know.
I didn't mind the 3 point discussion. I don't think they'll ever go down that path, but I didn't mind. At least it was it made sense. There was some merit in it.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
It creates so much excitement. I don't disagree with 5 tackles for a kick at the goal, but I mean, it is what it is. It makes it exciting for everyone watching. Great finish to the Canberra game, though.
Oh, it was,
unless you're a Titans fan.
Unless you're a Titans fan.
Oh, yeah.
Not a great finish.
Well, shouldn't really. If you're a Raiders fan, you're thinking we probably shouldn't have got to that anyway when we're leading 20-10 with less than 5 minutes to go. But that's what the Raiders do. Mm. They really make it easy on themselves. But no doubt that'll be discussed through the morning. Now, of course, the fallout continues from Scotty Scheffler's win as well. in the Masters yesterday. Just too good, winning by four shots there at Augusta National. But live players, there's been some sort of suggestions. Live players are at a competitive disadvantage. I love Nick Faldo. One of his remarks through the week was, there they are playing on resorts courses in their shorts. But Cam Smith, the Aussie, tied for sixth, and another top 10 finish for Cam Smith, said, no, that's BS. But you do start to wonder whether, you know, playing three rounds in the conditions they are, and whether that is going forward, we're going to see, you know, more and more just PGA players at the top of leaderboards. But it wasn't the case at last year's Masters, by the way. But now that we've had another season of live golf,
probably the couple of hundred million they signed on for would make them feel a little bit comfortable that they didn't have to play that fourth round.
I'd be pretty comfortable. Yes. Am I going to practice today?
Yeah.
Or am I going to go to that resort for
it,
the night?
It makes sense, though, that if you're not hardened to playing four rounds of golf in those sort of conditions, then you probably do get a bit used to it, I would imagine. A bit like playing any sport, you play for 80 minutes, you know, if you played for 60, and then the last 20 you tie. If you played basketball, it was three quarters is going to make ridiculous. That's going to sound stupid. And then you get to that last bit, you get tired or you're fatigued. I imagine it's not physically fatiguing, although walking up and down Augusta with all the hills, I think, would be. But mentally, it'd be just imagine the concentration. Because you get one wrong, that place, you hit it in the water, you hit it in the trees, I imagine
it's a very mental game. You'd be
mentally fatigued by then. Those putts, some of those putts that are, it's like they've buried elephants in the green, some of them. So, he's just too good at the moment, isn't he?
Yeah.
That's the simplicity of golf at the moment. Scotty Scheffler's playing a different game to everyone else.
He really is, and justified his quote. He was, what, $5.50 last Thursday, heading into round one, Tiger-like price, and was well justified. So I'm sure the bookies, I'm sure it was a tough tournament for the bookies with him at that shorter odds. First day of free agency yesterday, Brad, in the NBL. Yeah. I see the Kings signed 23-year-old, is it Kelly Laupepe?
Yes.
On a three-year deal.
Unbelievable. Think of him like a Charles Barkley. So he's like a 6'6", built like a brick, and an absolute mongrel in a good way. He will really woo the fans. They will love him. He plays hard. I thought what the Kings done in free agency list has been outstanding. Obviously, Brian Gorgian, good mate of mine, has come in now, head coach. He's with the Boomers at the moment, getting ready for Paris, obviously. But my old coach, Billy Tomlinson, is an assistant there. So and they've been recruiting really, really well. Lost a few players. Angus Glover has now left and he's gone to Southeast Melbourne Phoenix, which is a loss. Mm-hmm. Angus has been really good, but yeah, the Kings have been great. Bull Quoll coming from Cairns as well. That's a huge signing for them too. Mm. So good Australian contingent. That's what you want to do when the first free agency comes out. Then you build your imports around it.
You mentioned just Brian Gorgian heading towards Paris. Are we going to see the strongest international competition ever in men's basketball in Paris? What do you think, globally?
Yeah, I
think
I don't
think the game's ever been stronger globally, has it?
No, I completely agree with you. And, you know, you look at the draws of what's coming out and everyone's like, we're in the group of death, as they call it. There is no group of death. Every group is damn hard. And for the Aussies to get out of the first round, they are going to have to play some amazing basketball. You don't have that down game, you know, the one where you're like, okay, we'll get that win, we can rest our stars, because they play every 48 hours. It's very different to an NBA schedule where, all right, if you lose one, you've got another 81 games that you can get going and don't worry about it. You can't afford to lose one at the Olympics. You know, we've got Canada and Greece and, you know, Slovenia and all, US are taking LeBron's team. It's, you know, it's gold for US, and then who's playing for silver and bronze? So it's going to be an awesome tournament, though. It'll be a fabulous tournament.
Yeah, it certainly will. And we'll do a full NBA playoffs preview with you at some stage this morning as well, because I think there's going to be some upsets in the opening round. Whew. We've still got the play-in teams to be sorted in the East and the West. The
1 and 2 will be sitting there thinking, I don't want to play 7 and 8 right now.
In the West, especially.
Absolutely.
If it plays out as we expect, and we'll get to that. Just overnight in the IPL, Stewie, Travis Head. How about these scores? Seriously. Sunrisers Hyderabad, 3 for 287, have beaten Royal Challengers Bangalore 7 for 262 in 20-over cricket. Mm. So a 25-run margin to Sunrisers Hyderabad. But Travis Head, 102 of 41 deliveries there last night. Gee, some of these bowling figures, I mean, seriously. all going, you know, between like 12 and 16 and over are the Royal Challengers Bengaluru bowlers. In response, Dinesh Karthik, 83 off 35 balls. Faf du Plessis, 62 off 28. Pat Cummins, actually not too bad. 4 overs, 3 for 43. pretty much the pick of the bowlers. And, yeah, 10.75 and over in that match actually looks economical. But honestly, seriously, how's that? That is just a bash fest.
Yeah, look, it's 200.
That's not cricket.
280 in a T20. When this whole T20 thing started, if you got 170, everyone was going, oh, it'd be hard to get 170. You know, you have to bat well. You get 170, get run down about 12 overs at the moment. Travis Head, unbelievable. I'm just watching some highlights on the TVs in the studio here, and it's almost unfair on the bowlers. Like, you know, put my bowler's hat on again. I'm not sure I'd want to play.
Why now, Stewie? Like, why?
They've just played with complete freedom. They've freed up their mind. They practice so much more now. Like, they've changed the way they train.
Yeah, right.
Everyone was nervous about, you know, they've just that freedom now. They go out and they just try and take on from ball one and they just back their ability.
Yeah.
And they also play a few of these sort of, you know, the ramp, you know, see they're falling over and chipping them over the kick. Makes it hard to set field because if they can play all the shots, you don't have enough fielders
anymore.
Not to mention they've roped the boundaries in further. If you notice closely, they come in further.
Yeah, more sixes.
Bats have got better and all that other stuff. But look, I think the players are just better. Mm. You know, the game moves forward. Like every game of, like, it doesn't matter the sport, right? We were talking outside how basketball's played now. Mm. Yeah, cricket's played differently too from the
year. The same thing about the NBA. Yeah. Look at the scores, 160, yeah. 150. Yeah. It's a good point.
The game, every game, if you think about sport in general, if the game's not evolving and getting better, it's sitting stagnant.
Stay still.
And it's not as, people get a bit bored with it. Mm-hmm. That's what's happening with the IPL, and they are just, they're just belting the bejesus out of them.
Yeah.
But I don't. I wouldn't want to be a bowler.
Why would you want to be a bowler?
Exactly. No, you wouldn't be. No, you don't bowl. Don't. What you want to do is you want to bowl a bit and you want to be able to slog.
Yeah.
And you want to clear the boundary because then you become like that Shamar Joseph. Remember him during the summer, the West Indian? Oh, I want to play Test cricket. I saw him the other night playing for...
In the IPL.
Yeah, he's playing the IPL. Bowling 150. He bowled everywhere, mind you. He bowled all over the place. He got smashed. But he's probably making $2 million.
Yeah, that's the difference, isn't it?
Oh, I want to play Test cricket. Well, here's $2 million for 6 weeks, or Test cricket.
Yeah, the West Indian fee for Test cricket's not
$2 million.
Yeah. Game in the Premier League this morning. Chelsea are absolutely giving it to Everton. It is 4-0 at half time at Stamford Bridge. Cole Palmer had a hat trick within half an hour after 29 minutes there this morning. And Everton, who have had all those points deductions, 2 points deductions, 6 initially. Well, 10 reduced to 6, and then another 2-point deduction recently, which their appeal is going to be heard imminently, by the way, are only 2 points above the relegation zone. Ricky's F-bomb attack. Ricky v. Dez, intense tunnel exchange. Back page of the Daily Telegraph today. There it is, back page of the Herald as well. Stuart Hasler in heated row as NRL admits error. Sticky situation. Foul mouth Stewart gave Hasler a spray in heated tunnel stoush as ref's boss concedes Titans were robbed. That's the Courier Mail. Cheat claims Spurs coaches spat. Back page of the Australian. Oh, it's beautiful stuff. Great headlines, aren't they?
Great theatre. Great ability. Do you think when Graham Annesley came out yesterday and said Dez was right, do you reckon Dez sent Ricky a message saying, told you?
He just screenshotted it. Just sent him a text.
Or just copy.
G'day, Rick. Just want to send this through, buddy.
Just cut the video and just set that one down there, Rick. They'll be fine, mate. They probably next reunion camp. I don't think it'll ever get mentioned again. Or they'll be laughing about it.
Absolutely.
Who's written? Is that Bulldog on the back of the Telegraph?
Yeah, Bulldog.
The dog.
Got the story of the confrontation in the tunnel. So, it's a story.
Just sniffing around the tunnel. The old Bulldog himself.
So, Graham Annesley, just on what you said, Stewie, with Graham Annesley fronting the media in his weekly briefing yesterday. So, he said the Chevy Stewart charge down of Kieran Foran on that he was offside, but the bunker can't review 10-metre compliance. But it should have been a 6 again. And eventually a penalty when the play broke down because there was no advantage. There was a knock-on by the Titans.
So they come back.
Yeah. So then it should have been a penalty. Yeah. A full armour, which, you know, you have the chance to win the game from in front, which, again, brings us back to the spirit of Golden Point, and Nelly from Noosa on the text line. I hate Golden Point. Mm. Whole game changes and refs won't blow a penalty. A team trying to win in 80 mins is way more exciting than Golden Point. Just get rid of it, says Nelly from Noosa. And another question here, with the three-point scenario, what happens if it's still a draw after extra time?
That's actually a valid point. What do you do then?
Actually, the best point scenario I've seen is buzzers. Last night, and he's had it on this show as well before, he thinks, like the AFL, 4 points. Okay, four points for every win. Mm. None for a loss, except if you go to extra time, 3 points for the team who wins in extra time. 1 point for the team that loses in extra time. And if it's a draw after extra time, 2 points each.
That makes sense. I'm okay with it.
But golden try, not golden point.
Golden try, is it? Okay. Mm.
I'd love to see. I'm golden try. I'm with that. Mm. Look, I'm a big believer. Whatever you do and you change it, then there'll be people have issues with that.
There'll be exploitation.
Correct.
There'll be somewhere.
But I do. I mean, I love the golden point idea. You know, you want a winner, right? You want a winner.
It's like overtime.
Absolutely. You want a winner. But you, it's got to a stage now where it's just like, do not drop that ball. Kick, you know, five hit-ups, kick. Please don't kick it dead because the seven's getting you a drop goal. All of that.
Tell me, I watch Graham Adams every week. Do you reckon Graham just sits there thinking on, can't wait for Monday. I'm just going to get up in front of everyone. And
certainly doesn't look like it.
I reckon he's actually sitting there going, please don't come Monday. Please don't come Monday.
Good on the NRL for doing it. We should never make anyone apologise for being transparent.
Yeah. No. I just sit there and watch him every week and he comes out there. And because if you're a Titans fan, right, are you happy now? I don't think you are.
Not at all.
You're more
disgruntled,
eh? Yeah, absolutely. So it's helped. Yes, it's helped it. You know, we all look at the referees and interpretation. It hasn't helped the Titans fans. They're still blowing up.
You know what I also find amazing, and, you know, talking old school here, okay, that's 80 minutes or 90 if you go with extra time. What about the other 55 issues that have happened throughout the game that, you know, is not pointed out? I just, and players as well. Like things happen at the moment.
Yeah,
absolutely, it's so difficult. It's a lose-lose situation for him.
That's what was pointed out yesterday. There could have been another 38 penalties. Correct. I think it was blown in the game.
Correct.
Yeah. So that would drive us all mad.
What 20-10 turns into 24-10, and there's no golden. But yeah, all of that stuff. You just never know.
Also on the back page of the Herald, grey area. Rabbitohs coach Jason Demetrio says rookie fullback Jai Gray has 2 weeks to challenge for Latrell Mitchell's number one jersey. That's on the back page of the Herald, and we'll get an update from Denny Widler from Nine News later this morning. He's coming on just after 7 o'clock on the latest with the Jason Demetrio situation. He's still there, though. You just have a feeling this is tenuous, though, don't you?
He's hanging on. They're going to have to start playing great footy, scoring 40 points a game, completely changed, not letting a try. I feel sorry for him.
It's business. It's just not going to happen. Like, you just never seen. I find him a great coach from the outside. Obviously, I'm not inside, but I just think as soon as you hear that. You got the board support.
Yeah.
No, it just never works.
And as a Roosters fan, be honest,
how much are you
enjoying just South's general demise so far this season?
If you can picture the biggest popcorn that you can ever imagine and just hands in and just feeding it, like, and my whole family goes for the Rabbitohs, right? So I'm just the only Rooster, and my dinners around with the family are just fantastic at the moment. Just the best fun.
There's no love between these fan bases at all.
Couldn't have happened to a nicer place.
And you live right on the border.
Right on the border. Right
South
on the
Sydney
border.
In the eastern suburbs.
Did you read the story of Paul Gallen on 100% Footy, I think it is, on Monday night? He's come out and said that Latrell should take one for the team and play in the centres and leave the youngster down the back. That's going to cause a great... What do you do with Jack White then? Because Latrell's going to play on the left. That means White has to go to the right or play it in the back row.
I don't know. I don't see how that would work just purely because he wouldn't get enough ball. I mean, that's the argument with Joseph Manu as well for the Roosters, isn't it? You know, look at him, what he did. He nearly 300 metres or over 300 metres in the last game at fullback. Now, that's not saying Teddy's not doing a fantastic job. How do you get him the ball on the trail? He's his best when he's with the ball. No question.
As a Roosters fan, where do you love seeing Joey Manu play the most?
Oh, look, I love him at fullback, but I do prefer Teddy at fullback because Teddy's just so damn good, right? Mm. And how do you do that? So, but, I mean, when Joey's there, it's like, wow.
Mm. He's a super player.
Yeah, he is.
At the end of the day, it's up to the panel to decide what the outcome will be.
That is not acceptable as a professional athlete these days.
You can't assume that that is the way of the world now.
I've just seen too many times recently where he's just been hit.
We just don't have that sort of foot on the throat where we really just put teams away.
He looked twice the player when Ponga's on the field as well. Yeah.
On the Big Sports Breakfast, time now for Pressing Matters.
This is our new segment in 2024, Stu.
I haven't been on for this part, so if I'm just listening here, Pressing Matters.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just something on a Tuesday.
Do you hit us, or what happens here?
All right. Firstly, Nathan Cleary. Will he return for the Panthers against the Tigers at Carrington Park in Bathurst this week? Let's have a listen to what Penrith fullback Dylan Edwards had to say yesterday.
Well, I think whenever he's ready, he'll be ready. He's not one to sit out an extra week if he's ready to go. But in saying that, him is tricky as well. So you got to try and make sure he's really right and ready to go. And our medical staff are second to none here. And he's obviously well known to be as diligent as anyone in terms of his rehab. So whenever he's right, he'll be right.
That audio courtesy of Fox Sports. I mean, you're taking no chances, are you?
No way.
You're taking a week longer rather than a week earlier.
Not with a hamstring. No way. Yeah. Not even a shadow of doubt.
Not playing. He'll be there to sign autographs.
Yep.
He'll be there. I blame Mary Fowler.
Gee. You had to bring it up, didn't you?
Well, how's he hurt his hamstring?
Very tabloid of you, Stu.
Mary Fowler.
Bringing up his personal life.
He'll be there. He'll be there up at Bathurst. He'll be signing plenty of autographs. He'll be supporting. He'll probably do a interview with Fox or Channel 9. See how it's going, but he won't be on the field.
He'll be next to Dad in the box, and that's about it.
Won't be kicking the footy around, unfortunately.
Well, Brad Schneider's done a pretty commendable job for them in his absence. Although they are coming off a loss that game against the Sea Eagles. Well, we had that try to obviously Tolu Kola in that game, probably off. Well. Looks like a knock-on, for sure. But the Panthers so far, 3-2 heading into this game against the Tigers, who will get Lockie Galvin back from suspension as well, who's been just a revelation, hasn't he?
Early in the season
for the Tigers.
You just can't chance it. There's too much coming on. You know, you know he's going to be State of Origin. It's not like he's not an injury-prone guy, but it's not like he hasn't had his injuries before. So you certainly don't want to chance that.
Hey, who's on top of the comp, just out of interest?
It's the weirdest ladder you've ever seen.
Who's coming first?
The Sharks and the Storm are 4-1 on 10 points. Raiders, Cowboys, Dolphins, Panthers, 8 points. Warriors, Sea Eagles, 7 points.
Because you've got the draw.
5 teams on 6 points. Knights and Dogs, 4 points. Titans, Bunnies, 2 points. But the Titans are the only team without a win. They got 2 points for the bye.
If I said to you at the start of the year the Rabbitohs would be running 17th, you would have laughed at me, wouldn't you?
Oh, look, there was a theory before the season that it was just rocks or diamonds for South. That this was either going to be a raging... They've got Jack Whiten, you know, they've got all this star power. They're going to run through the competition as they did in the first, dozen weeks of last season.
Yep.
When I think they were 10-1 after one point, and then it all went pear-shaped. Or... it was going to go pear-shaped as it did in the back end of last season. And we're seeing option B. It seemed people were either in one camp or the other. It was going to be flying high or this was going to happen.
Well, this is happening at the moment. So they were gallant on the weekend. They had a lot of injuries. HO had only one reserve. But the Mighty Sharkies just had too much power, didn't they? Mighty Sharks.
They're going pretty... quietly,
under the radar, aren't they?
Do you want to be just
a Fitzy? That's just Craig Fitzgibbon, isn't it? He's just one of those guys. I mean, they asked him as well on the weekend about, you know, Dimitri and all that. He's like, don't want to talk about it.
Not my business.
Yeah, all about the Sharkies. We'll just go and play. Thanks.
Tell me, do you want to, as a sport, do you want to fight under the radar or do you want to be in the radar? What do you reckon?
Aussie way is under the radar.
Aussie way,
sure.
If you're an American,
oh, mate, you're out in front. Yeah, lead me. I'm going to take you to the promised land.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. Just look at me. Yep. Follow me. I'm the Messiah.
Yep. Yep. I will be the greatest ever.
Yeah.
I will win everything.
It's a real change. It's a real cultural thing between us and the Americans. We don't like. Pup talks about a lot on the show that. He blames that's why he gets carved up so much. Might be a little bit self-inflicted there, pup. Let's be brutally honest.
He takes accountability for that.
He does. No, no. Look, I've known him since he was 15, so I can take the piss out of him. Don't worry.
When he used to drive, targeting him when he played for Wests.
When he used to drive a cappuccino around. Do you know what that is? He had this little car. It was called a cappuccino. Before all of, dating suit models and shit that he does now. Right? He used to drive a cappuccino around.
Right, okay. Well, what, some little hatchback?
It was like a really little car, but it used to be a cappuccino. Okay. Then he moved to a Z4.
Oh, he moved to a latte.
And then he bought a Ferrari.
Then he signed the Slazenger deal or whatever it was, and then XYZ.
I love him. It's all right. Good fun.
Morning, pup.
He'll be listening there from Mumbai.
Okay.
What's next? Is that a pressing matter or...
Hey, coming up next, the winner of the Masters, Scotty Scheffler. And, of course, leading into the Masters, he did say that his missus, if she went into labour, he wouldn't be missing the birth of his child. So that kept everyone who'd backed him on edge, I know that, through the tournament. But it is imminent that his partner will be giving birth. And let's have a listen to what he had to say all about that.
Well, I'm definitely not going to intentionally take my eye off the ball. I will go home, soak in this victory tonight. We'll definitely enjoy the birth of my first child. But with that being said, I still love competing. My priorities will change here very soon. My either son or daughter will now be the main priority along with my wife. So golf will now be, probably fourth in line. But I still love competing. I don't plan on taking my eye off the ball anytime soon. That's for sure.
Okay, Scotty Scheffler there yesterday, and Rich from Barrel texts in, I listened to Scotty Scheffler's press conference, an organised, articulate and decent human who just happens to be the world's best golfer. Was a pleasure to hear this during our difficult time, says Rich from Barrel. I mean, a lot of people saying, oh, he's boring, but you've got to give him credit. You are who you are, and he's just a dominant golfer who clearly, not a bad bloke as well, and big family man. So what can you say? We can't have everyone as exuberant as we'd like them to be, perhaps.
No, look, he was great. He was just far better than everyone else. He putted better. He hit the ball better. I like it. Do you like those shows they do live from the Masters or live from the Players with Chamblee, I think his name is, and they sit around. It's all about stats. They just sit there and go, closest, approach shots, he's the best ever, and then off the tee, he's the best ever, and strokes gained putting, and his stats just keep coming up. Mm. Top three, number one. So, he'll keep going. Yeah, kids will change his life. Can he hit as many balls? Can he practice? I'm sure he can afford a nanny there for a little bit, do a little bit of work around the house.
Oh, I even saw something yesterday, because, talking about the live money, etc. Even since the live tour's come in, I think his prize money is somewhere at $38 million.
Yeah.
And that's just his prize money.
Yeah.
So I'm sure he's got all his endorsements for apparel and
it is nice to hear someone speak their mind like that, though. That's what it's nice, like it's not all about the one line or everything like that. He's just a fair dinkum bloke, isn't just he? You love it. Yeah.
I think from what I've read about him, he's very religious. He's a very religious guy. I think, on the pressing matters here, one of the questions, how long can he keep dominate? I think that depends a little bit on how long these two organisations stay apart, because there's a lot of good golfers running around on the LIV Tour, Cameron Smith being one, Brooks Koepka, Bryson, Dustin Johnson, we don't hear a lot about him now. All the guys that used to be on the PGA Tour are now separated, only really come together at the Masters, and then are they playing three rounds? Is that enough? Is the fourth round tiring them out? I don't know. All of that sort of stuff. I don't know how much PGA Tour, I know you watch it a bit in here, but sometimes you watch it and there's some guys on there, you'd love to see the other names that playing on the PGA Tour, just because it makes the competition so much better. But that's not what's happening at the moment. You have to live with it.
It's hurting the game.
Yeah, that's what it is. The game loses. That.
And ratings really, falling.
The game loses and also the supporters lose.
Mm.
There's always going to be that, would they be better if they played 4-3? All of that is always going to come into it until they join. That's as simple as it is.
It's the old Super League argument from rugby league in 97. It's World Series cricket. It's happened before.
You can't see it not coming back.
It has to
though.
Come back.
It will.
At some point.
Just how though?
There's just a lot of hatred between both organisations now, and obviously there's big numbers involved, like
and deep pockets.
Yeah,
and it can keep going.
It can keep going. Yeah, correct.
Yeah.
Well, the Los Angeles Lakers finished an NBA season. What was it? LeBron's 21st regular season, and they finished with a 124-108 win over the Pelicans, the New Orleans Pelicans. So they finished 47-35 on the season, and they'll play the Pelicans again for the seventh seed in the Western Conference. And let's have a listen to what the great LeBron had to say as he's reflecting on his career after his 21st regular season.
Not really. Kind of just got to just like kind of live in the moment, you know, and be just extremely, you know, happy and you know, I guess, you know, proud of the fact that I could just be a part of this league for so long and, you know, represent my family at the utmost highest honor and respect every time I step on the floor and every time I walk outside of the arena. So, you know, just an honor to be a part of this great league, and that's what it's all about, honestly, for me. I haven't had much time to reflect on it, but I've done some pretty cool things in my career so far.
LeBron there in this season averaged 25.7 points, 7.3 rebounds, 8.3 assists, and shot at 54% from the field, Brad.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. I mean, to be in that, to be like that after 21 seasons, it's unheard of. I mean, there's a lot of talk. He spends like $1 million on his body a year, you know, like chambers and everything that he does and everything that he needs and massages and everything. He is the ultimate professional. And to be able to play at that level, there's players that have played that long before, right? But not at the level here. He is still taking over games. He is the most dominant force when he's on the court. And he will just continue on. Like, there'll be 22 seasons, there'll be 23 seasons. It's just, as long as he wants to go, he's unbelievable. It is unheard of.
So that 7v8 play-in game is tomorrow, our time, 9:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, tip-off. And Tab has it $1.92 a pick. Can't split them. We put a line in of 1.5 there. Pelicans the minus. Pelicans finished 7th. So they're at home, but I mean,
them yesterday.
Lakers are a bet, aren't they?
Massive loss for them yesterday. That was huge because they win that game yesterday. The Pelicans, they're in 6, right? And they guaranteed no play in, get a couple of days off, and then they play 3. Right now they've got to go play the Lakers again at home after just being dominated by them. You lose that, now you're one game out, and you lose, you're out. Now I think they'll get in, but I'll tell you what.
The prize for the winner, the Denver Nuggets, the defending NBA champions in the first round. So it's mouthwatering if it's the Lakers. But and just on that, I do think it is a matter of time, especially the second we see expansion in the NRL, we will see this format, this sort of play-in format, will be done for the last two teams to go into the NRL finals.
They did it in the NRL?
Yep.
They've done it in the NBL.
Yep.
And it's been a brilliant thing.
Of course it has.
Yep.
Yes.
They've done it in the NBL.
Yep.
You think they'll bring this in the
NRL? So the second there's expansion, we go to 18 teams.
Yep.
7 will play 10. Probably 7 and 10, 8 and 9.
8 and 9.
For the last two.
Two spots.
Two spots
so
in the
an
finals.
Extra round. And the bonus is everyone gets a week off and you just have two
exactly
games.
Exactly right.
And
you know, more games, more money.
It's a bit like the $1 million or the $1 billion TV game in the EPL to go up
the playoffs, which have been a raging success.
Yeah, so
I don't know a sport where it hasn't been a success. Mm. You know, like I'm talking basketball at the moment because that's the big one. But then you talk cricket, EPL. It's just unbelievable.
The Big Bash are trying to have something similar, the playoff game to get into the. They're just calling it all funny names.
Yeah. The Eliminator.
The other thing it does.
It's like an episode of Major League.
It just brings those teams into play because not only have you got 7 to 10 talking about it, there's also the 11, 12, 13 teams that are sitting in that spot. Their season's not done until a lot later in the season. So that brings more people in more people in there, more crowds, more everything. It's amazing.
I bet you Graham Annesley's looking forward to that game when two teams get locked out, have to front up there.
Just hope it's Desi and Ricky playing off on that game. That'd be great.
Great coach v coach conflicts. Just trying to think, coach v coach. One I can think of straight off the top of my head, Jose Mourinho and Arsene Wenger had some good ones in the Premier League.
Yeah, I think it'd be the Chelsea Premier League Arsenal would be the best ones.
Yeah, Wenger and Mourinho. Any others you can think of, let us know. 0419 767 272.
Wayne and Mal don't get on, do they?
Oh, but have we seen it publicly? Have we seen, like, public spat between coaches? Wenger, Mourinho, anyone else? Let us know. Chelsea absolutely destroying Everton this morning in the Premier League. Cole Palmer has just scored from the penalty spot. There was a bit of a, I want to say, a fight. There's certainly an argument to see who took the penalty that was just scored, which Cole Palmer took and put into the bottom right corner. So he's got four for the match, and it's 5-0. Chelsea over Everton in the 65th minute of that Premier League game this morning.
It's a good question. You know how you're just saying about coaches? Mm. What about players on the same team?
Oh, yeah, there's been a few of them.
There's been heaps of them. What's the best one?
Oh, I can think of the two Newcastle players in the Premier League.
Punch-up?
Yeah.
There's been punch-ups.
Oh. Yeah. No, there sure has.
But I'm saying in you see it. Like, yeah, they're always behind closed doors.
What about AB and Craig McDermott?
Oh, that was very good.
That was gold back in the day, wasn't it? Like, when you just didn't see stuff like that.
Remember? Well, Steve Waugh told us about it at the lunch.
Yeah, he told us at the lunch. Absolutely, yeah. So, poor old AB. God love him. He's just a legend of the game. But he just... he was grumpy for about 30 seconds. I don't know, Stephen, sort of, I think didn't come across maybe at lunch, but AB just, he'd be grumpy, like, he'd go, and then he'd turn around and he'd go, oh, get up, mate.
What's your best, mate? What can I get you?
He just had a really short fuse, blew up, and then moved on.
Shano, morning.
Middo, boys, how you going, all right?
Yeah, really well, thanks, mate. What have you got for us?
Ricky and Des do a lot of work for charity. Yeah. Wouldn't it be good to see him in a cage match?
Yeah, come on.
Raising a bit of money. And the prelims, I know there's been a bit of tension. Danny Whitelaw and Paul Kent. And you could have Bulldog Richie and Phil Rossfield. It'd be a great way to raise some money for charity. And these blokes could get in the cage and get all their frustrations out.
Gee, I'll tell you what, a few of us would watch, wouldn't we?
I've been. I'm really interested.
I'm tuning in.
I want to see the Bulldog Richie one. That's not going to be much of a fight, I'm saying. They're lovers, not fighters, those two.
Well, it'd be a great way to raise some money for charity. And I know Danny's been he's been hammering 360 lately, and Kenty's face is going redder and redder. It'd be great value.
Of course it'd be good value. Yeah, we'd have a look for sure. Yeah, who are you fighting, Shano?
Is the narc still around?
Haven't heard from him for a while.
What about Bass?
Yeah.
Oh, no. What about Adrian? Adrian would be a good one.
Done.
We'll sort it. We'll make it happen. Tab will do a market, I reckon. Your odds on.
Hey, just on your idea of 1 point for a loss with the golden point, what happens in the middle of the season if a team's struggling? They've got injuries and they're thinking, oh, I'll just take the 1 point. So they let the opposition team kick off and they just stand there and let them run through them. Because they're guaranteed the point, aren't they?
No, well, the point would be if they lost in golden point or extra time.
Yeah, so it goes to golden point. They know they're going to get a point, aren't they, for a loss. They've got a heap of injuries. They haven't got many left, but they know that point will get them close to the semis.
I think the heat of the battle. You would hate it.
Do you reckon, honestly, a team would ever approach it like that? Ever?
Who knows? Who knows what the... They might, Bellamy might say, just stand there like 10-pin boys and let them run through. We're going to get the point anyway.
I'll believe it when I see it. But, you know, yeah, I take your point, what you're saying. But anyway, I think our gripe with it, extra time at the moment, is the game completely changes.
Mm. Yeah. The rule is
completely different game. So for 80 minutes, you know, the game's refereed one way and played one way. And then it's just played to put yourself in field position for a field goal. And obviously the referees generally put the whistle in the pocket.
Mm.
So, anyway.
Call me a dinosaur, boys. But look, I enjoy the old 70s and 80s. If two teams can't sort it out after 80 minutes, they walk off the field together. A draw's a draw.
After watching what we've watched in Golden Point in recent times, I'm not against a draw either.
Mm.
Good on you, Shano. Just some news from racing, courtesy of Racing Queensland. So no Cairns or Kilcoy racing today. So Kilcoy was called off yesterday and Cairns has been postponed. They've had, well, an additional 122 mils of rain since 9 a.m. yesterday, and they've had 140 mils for the past 7 days. So Cairns is off today after Kilcoy was off yesterday. Yeah, it's not quite coach v. coach, but good one from Mitch from Robertson. I did think of this one last night when Punter gave it to Duncan Fletcher after he was run out. I forgot the fieldsman's name. Gary Pratt.
Yeah, Gary Pratt gave Duncan Fletcher a massive spray. Punter. He was pointing up there, and they were just rorting the rules, though, weren't they, the old Poms? Hasn't helped them since.
Coaching rivalries don't come any worse than Brian Clough and Don Revie in the 70s, first division in England. Revie publicly scolded Clough after Clough pronounced that himself as, "I might not be the best manager in the world, but I'm in the top one." They traded barbs for years. Yeah, John from Wingham. Damned United, that movie about Leeds United back then under Clough?
Can't say either name.
Yeah, no, big names in English football. Kevin Keegan and Alex Ferguson, says KB at Newcastle as well. Yeah, there's a lot of, I think, because of the proximity in the technical area on the touchline.
Yeah, yeah, football, that's what, yeah, it's so out there and visual. No question.
There's a lot of bargy-bargy. Oh,
yeah.
Close.
Yeah, yeah.
75 minutes gone at Stamford Bridge. Still Chelsea 5-0 over Everton. Cole Palmer with 4 goals in the match. Now, overnight as well, the Oli Roos started their under-23 Asian Cup campaign with a scoreless draw against Jordan. And, we need a top-three finish in this competition to automatically qualify for the Paris Olympics. So, scoreless last night for the Oli Roos against Jordan. And in the IPL overnight, Travis Head's gone off for Sunrisers Hyderabad. He scored 102 off 41 deliveries, and they posted 3 for 287. Royal Challengers Bangalore, 7 for 262 in response. So the margin of victory, 25 runs there. But Head and Pat Cummins are in the same team there, the victorious side. And Pat Cummins, 4 overs, 3 for 43, which in the context of that game were economical figures going at 10.75 and over. There you go. That's where we are.
Keeping under 11 is always a good day in T20 cricket. The numbers are just astronomical.
Ridiculous,
they're just
isn't it?
Spiraling. Grounds are, you know, the games have got better. I'm not going to deny that. But who'd want to be a bowler? Certainly not me.
No way.
I miss that gravy train. I'm not dark about it or anything. But.
Oh, no. Well, on Mitchell Stark, we've got to remember with Starkey, he did have 10 years of not playing IPL to prioritise his body and rest for playing for Australia. But he's had some pressure on him, hasn't he? And he's the most expensive IPL player ever. Well, 4 million, I think, he's over there playing for at the moment. And, he took 3 for 28 the other day.
He's so back.
Just sort of, get the critics a bit away from him. You can only imagine over in India, though. Like, do they talk about the IPL the way we talk about the NRL as far as players, coaches, whoever being, under the pump?
I dare say so.
Culturally,
maybe in a different way.
The fanaticism 100%.
When you're getting paid that, doesn't matter what happens. Always going to have people love him and hate him.
Yeah, correct. I think with their Indian cricketers, though, because they do get looked after so well, Kohli, and, you're mixing it in that echelon. So if you're not delivering, what they will do is they'll get rid of you quickly. You won't get, if you don't live up to the expectation, don't expect next year when you come back again that the numbers will be the same. They're brutal. It's ruthless.
Well, it's got to be when you pay that, isn't it?
Absolutely.
That's life. Yeah. That's business.
If you're just tuning in, they're the voices of Stuart Clark and Brad Rosen joining us this morning with, Pup obviously over there commentating the IPL and Loz advancing International Rugby League with a board meeting in Singapore for the next three days. I have no idea.
His best mate. His neighbour.
Yeah. I love this text. Laura from Mudgee. Laurie, from one good-looking 5/8 to another, where do you rape Dylan Brown in the good sort stakes? We'll ask Loz on his return because I'm sure he would have an opinion on this. As he'd sit there and wobble
being
his head.
Being a former good-looking 5'8", is that what he's going to say? He's basically got the right to comment.
Yeah, well,
Good on Loz.
He was an aficionado in that. So keep them coming, by the way. 0419 767 272. Does Brad or Stu have any update on the Cannons or Comets coming to the NBL or the BBL? Noodles asks.
There is a lot of talk about Canberra coming back, but it certainly won't be the next team, is what I'm understanding. My thoughts and what I've heard is that it will be Gold Coast that will be coming back as the next NBL team. And there will be. They will expand. There's no question the NBL will expand. There's also talk of Darwin. But Cannons is on the radar, the good old Canberra Cannons. We always miss them.
Will Phil Smythe be coach?
Oh, I love Phil Smythe. He was at the Sydney Kings when I was my first rookie year, and
really?
He's a great man. Yeah, he came for one season.
He had a comb over, didn't he?
Yeah, the comb over. Came for one season, popped his shoulder out, the poor bugger, and he's got some great stories.
Really gone out of
the general. The general.
The general. Yeah, that was him. The general.
The general. He's living in Adelaide now.
Is he?
He's an Adelaide boy, and he coached Adelaide and won a few championships. Right. And great man. Great man.
One of the best comb overs, if not the best comb over in sport back from the 80s.
What about the Comets?
The Comets. Well, look, I know a little bit about this, and what I want to say is there's been a lot of stuff put in the media about the Comets, and it's factually incorrect, some of the stuff that's been produced out of Canberra about biggest growing markets and all this. The biggest growing market's Western Sydney. I don't think we have the talent to make it work, expansion in the BBL, and the two states, New South Wales and Victoria, are struggling with the two teams to make it work and grow. I get that everyone's talking and wants to think about expansion. I just don't think we're ready for it yet. And, you know, all this fallacy about biggest growing market and, you know, we've got all this. It's all garbage.
On both fronts, what about international? So they've talked about New Zealand in the BBL and also potentially Asia. Mm. We saw the Singapore Slingers in the NBL. What chance we go international in both those competitions?
I think that has more merit than Canberra. It's not a big enough market. The market's too small down there. And certainly for cricket, I don't know what it's like in the NBL. I don't know how big the market is down there. But you've got to go where the biggest markets are if you're going to expand.
Well, it's TV rights, really. That's what it comes down to. And I know with the NBL, there is definitely talk there. But I think I see it more like a EuroLeague type thing where you play in your comp in Australia or whatever, and then there can be games over there and you come and down. But I couldn't see like a team coming in. I don't know if that would work, like a Singapore, use an example, where they're here every other week. Mm. I think that would be very tough.
New Zealand may work.
The Breakers are in Australia, in the NBL. Fantastic.
That may work
fantastic.
In the BBL.
I did forget about the Breakers, which is, how dare I? Sorry,
don't forget the Knicks.
Breakers
in
fans.
A-League. Is it Phoenix?
Yes.
In A-League. Yeah. So I think that's
and they've got Auckland next year.
That's got more merit in it from a BBL point of view.
Well, there was talk about the NBL putting another team in New Zealand. But that's worked brilliantly. I mean, what they went through in COVID, those poor guys.
Yeah.
So they couldn't, you know, but brilliant.
Can you ask Brad, does Caitlin Clark have a WNBA team? If not, why not
question.
Ask Stu from Cronulla, which is, are you sending text to the show while you're sitting here?
You could have just asked, mate. That's actually perfect time because the WNBA draft is on today. So I think it's on about 9:30. I think you can watch it on ESPN. Caitlin Clark is going in the WNBA draft. She will be the number one pick, no question. And the Indiana Fever are the ones that have the first pick. She will go there. There's no doubt about that. And look, if she keeps going on the trajectory that she's on at the moment, she will be the greatest women's basketballer ever, no question.
Which at the moment, is it still Cheryl Miller?
Yeah, it's probably up there. Lauren Jackson's talk as well. There's talk there. But yeah, Cheryl, I think, is probably the GOAT in that situation. But, oh man, this Caitlin Clark.
Yeah, she's unbelievable.
I mean, she had 40 in the final. One of the finals, I should say, not the final. She's an amazing, amazing player.
Okay, let's get some markets. Jared Duffy from TAB. Good morning, mate. How are you?
Morning, team. Yeah, I'm good. Thank you, Mido.
Let's start with the NRL Premiership odds and changes there.
We've got Penrith 325 now, and behind them we've got Brisbane at 450, Melbourne 7. The Roosters are back in favour there into 9, the Warriors 13, Manly 15, Cowboys and Cronulla 17, and then we get right out to 34 or better for the rest.
What about Origin? I was just going to ask game one.
Game one and the series. Game one, which is Wednesday, June 5, so it's not that far away. In New South Wales, the Blues are $1.65, Queensland $2.25, a line there of 3.5 points. And as far as the series is concerned, well, Queensland are favourites there. $1.80, slight over New South Wales at $2.
Give it time, the Blues will become
favourites. Yeah, that'll average out. That's it.
Best team ever.
Worst team ever.
Queensland can't go in as favourites. It's just not on.
It's just not on. And Buzz will come out and write a story, worst team ever, and give them motivation.
Or Dean Ritchie will bag, someone, bag Queensland.
Old legs, running on old
Billy
legs.
Billy Slater's got no idea.
some garbage.
He still cops it when he goes to Queensland Bulldogs.
Yeah, rightly so.
Always. So he should.
Yeah. So he should. Little man that he is, little cranky little fella.
Hey, it was all fine until this show and some other shows that he's on started being broadcast in Queensland because they hate him. They just don't like him.
What about the AFL, mate? Carlton v. the Giants, the flag.
Yeah, some good matches coming up.
There's plenty of
this week.
Going on as well.
Even Thursday night, St Kilda $1.80. The Western Bulldogs $2. Looks like Luke Beveridge is under the pump this week at $2. Other matches, Collingwood Saturday $1.77, Port $2.05. So many matches it could be the game of the round. But you're right, Carlton v GWS, and might surprise a few. The Blues are favourites here at $1.80. The Giants $2. Hasn't been any major moves in those particular matches. The Swans are in action on Sunday. They're $1.35. The Gold Coast $3.25 and a line there of 19.5 points. A bit going on as far as the flag betting is concerned here, Middo. The Giants remain at $5. Sydney go out to $7. Melbourne, Carlton, Brisbane all at $8. Port Adelaide are into $9 now, as are Geelong, and the rest are $11 or better. So it's wide open.
Geez, Geelong, that's a nice little hit, isn't it?
Well, they haven't lost yet.
Yeah, that's something. A-League, Central Coast, look, lost six games is there. It's the pointy end of the season. Are they the favourites?
We've actually got one on tonight first. Western United, $2.50.
Yeah.
Draw $3.90. Adelaide United at $2.40. It's been a topsy-turvy season as far as the market to win overall is concerned. And at the moment, as I'm looking down here, A-League features, the Mariners are the faves at $3, ahead of Wellington Phoenix, $4.25. The Victory, $5.25. Sydney FC, $6, then $9 for MacArthur FC, $11 or better for the rest. So there's a few there at the top of proceedings.
Champions League quarterfinals continue tomorrow morning.
They do. Barcelona, $2.15. Draw, $3.70. PSG, $2.90. So Barcelona have been $2.20 into $2.15 overnight. Dortmund, $2.20. Draw, $3.60. Atletico Madrid, $3. I'll mention Thursday as well. Bayern Munich, $2.30. That's out from $2.20. Draw, $3.60. Arsenal, $2.80. And the shorty of the four matches, Man City, $1.62. Draw, $4.25. Real Madrid, $4.75.
NBA playoffs just about to start. What are the punters interested in?
Well, you did mention earlier on the play-ins tomorrow. Both of those are open. New Orleans and the Lakers, $1.92. Take your pick. Sacramento, $2.20. Golden State Warriors, $1.70. First game hasn't moved, but the Warriors have been $1.80 into $1.70. We've got Thursday's matches up. As far as winning the title is concerned, the Celtics favourites at $2.75 ahead of the Nuggets at $4. Then right out to $13 for the LA Clippers, $15 the Bucks at $17 Thunder and the Mavs, the rest are $21 or better. And there's series markets, playoff series markets there as well. So there's plenty to look forward to in the coming weeks.
Brilliant.
With the NBA playoffs and play-ins.
Love it, Jared. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Jared Duffy there from Tabarot. Brad, without any notice at all, just some of these series that have already been set in stone.
Here we go. Yep.
Okay, let's start in the East. The 4v5, Cleveland, been pretty poor recently, up against Orlando. Series winner market, Cleveland with Tab $1.50, Orlando $2.60.
Joey Ingles and the Magic to win that series.
I like it.
Yeah.
$2.60. And Donovan Mitchell probably won't be a Cav next season, do you think? Probably.
No, I don't think he will. Yeah, I think he'll end up elsewhere. He'll want to go for a title somewhere strong.
Great series out west, which is also the 4-5 battle. The LA Clippers, the 4 seed, $2. Dallas, $1.80, and favourites, the 5 seed.
Yeah, I would go with Dallas on that one. I just think we talk about the Clippers all the time, don't we? They're a recipe for disaster. It will eventually happen. But look, with the way Luka's playing and I just think the Mavericks are a tough team. They play good defense. I don't think they can win the West, but I think they win that series.
3v6 in the East. Milwaukee, $1.57. The Indiana Pacers, $2.40 in the
great
series
season.
Winner mark.
Great season for the Pacers. I think they've done done a great job, but no, I can't see anything but Milwaukee winning that one, barring injuries.
It'll be a disaster.
As long as the Greek freak stays, you know, healthy, I think they win that series.
And Minnesota and Phoenix is the 3v6 battle out west. And the market has the T-Wolves, slight outsiders, even though they're the three seed at $1.95 and the Phoenix Suns at $1.85 to win that series.
That is just such, that's the tough one because, you know, obviously, as I said earlier, the Pels should have won that game against the Lakers. They take that and now they go into that series, but they lost. Suns are coming off a couple of good wins and they're playing really well. I don't know. There's just something. You should say Suns. You should say that. I know, no doubt. But I just think the Timberwolves play strong. And I think defensively they're good. I think they'll get that series.
You're just petrified of Kevin Durant.
That's the thing. That
petrified.
Guy. He
and
can
Devin
just,
Booker.
These guys can score 90 between them. And that's the thing. It's just, it's a little bit like Mavericks, isn't it? You know, when you talk Kyrie and Luka, these guys can just get 80 and 90 points and there's not much defense played in the league at the moment. So, but yeah, Timberwolves to win that one. And as I said, Mavs to win their series. So, completely wrong in probably everything.
And I guess the 1, 2, 7, 8 is all to be determined based on the play-in. Yeah. Best bet out of those ones we mentioned, I think might be Dallas to beat the Clippers.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
I like it.
Be good.
What have we got?
Chelsea's just scored again.
It's 6-0. And the Sydney Morning Herald, Adam Pengilly, good morning.
Morning, Middo. Morning, boys.
Morning.
The fallout continues from the Queen Elizabeth Stakes and probably will for some time.
It will. Yeah, it will, Middo. I just noticed some comments yesterday from Dan O'Sullivan, a noted ratings guy who broke down the race. And on his data, I'm sort of referring to average times over the Randwick 2,000 metres, he thought that the chasing pack could have been 14 lengths closer in the run without not unduly taxing their horses, quote unquote. So that just goes to show that I think those jockeys made a mistake back in the field there trying to chase down Pride of Jenny at Randwick on Saturday. Can't change the result now, can they? It's done and dusted. And she, as I said yesterday, if they were a bit closer, she still might have won that race. I don't think there's any question about that. But those horses weren't given any chance. And I suppose the next question we've got to ask me, though, is where does Pride of Jenny sit in terms of Australian Racehorse of the Year on us? Because right now, I would have to say she would have to be very, very close to favourite and got her nose in front.
Well, you can't have without a fight. I know it won the Cups double, but it has a race in the autumn.
That's true. And I like longevity in my horses. I want to see them race in both the spring and the autumn to win that honour. Of course, without a fight was great winning the Caulfield Cup and Melbourne Cup. But what she's done, winning a couple of Group 1s in the space of a week during the Melbourne Cup Carnival, in the autumn, obviously, she's been great, All-Star Mile. She was good in the Australian Cup, and now she's won the QE Stakes. I think that's going to be very hard to toss. So right now, as it stands, I've got her just in front for Australian Racehorse of the Year honours, and we've got obviously a couple of Group 1s to come in Queensland before we round out the voting for that.
Yeah, wow. Osmosis set for stud duties, a bit like Mido, stud duties.
Mido
lasts a bit longer than
Osmosis. I think that's called something else. I think that's called something else.
I want to go down that path.
Be a little bit careful.
You're right, Stewie. He hasn't fronted up in a couple of runs so far this autumn carnival. He was obviously playing in the Galaxy and was just okay, I suppose, in the Arrowfield on the weekend. And given how valuable he is as a colt, so it's a Newgate stud winning the Coolmore back in the spring, it's just the nature of the beast in our industry. I'd imagine he's probably run his last race. They might look for something potentially in Queensland to give him one more run before he heads off to stud, but he definitely won't be racing on beyond his three-year-old season. So he'll join Newgate's roster in the spring, and obviously I wish him all the best as a stallion in the future, but unfortunately for the punters, we won't see him on the racetrack, I wouldn't think, again later this year.
Adam, Chain of Lightning sounds like off to race at Royal Ascot, but not before a potential sale?
Yeah, fascinating, Brad, isn't it? She was caused the boil over in the TJ mistakes last week, obviously, and Peter Moody and Catherine Coleman have virtually hinted saying that they want to take it to Royal Ascot and put her down the straight and give her a crack in the Jubilee Stakes. But before that, she's going to be sold at the Magic Millions Broodmare sale. So that Royal Ascot start will be contingent on the new owners of Advisor wanting to go ahead with that and travel her overseas and give her a crack. And I think Peter Moody, well, we know what he did with Black Caviar over there. How many years ago was that now? 10 or 11 or 12 years ago now it would be. So it's a fairly long time ago. So he wants to go over there with another mare and give it a crack. And why not? She's got a Group 1 on her page now. There's no issues there. She can travel the world, give her owners a great experience and give her trainers a great experience. And, yeah, great to see her go down the straight at Royal Ascot.
Mate, plenty of talk around the Golden Point in the NRL. Where do you sit on the whole, I won't call it a saga, the whole issue?
What's wrong with what we've got at the moment? How do you guys feel
game
about
changes.
It?
Game changes. All of a sudden, instead of, playing the game to score tries...
It's boring.
Played for field position. The referees the game completely differently than we see in the previous 80 minutes. It feels like it's just a completely different game, and the integrity of the game changes.
I can understand that, Mitt. I get that point. But aren't we in entertainment business? Don't we want to get a result? Sometimes I do feel sorry for teams who don't go away with a point after busting their guts for 80 minutes and they get beat in Golden Point. But I've always been a fan of Golden Point. It's been in play for many, many years now. I've got no issue with it whatsoever. I know there was a couple of harsh results there on the weekend. Titans losing in the last 30 seconds of Golden Point and that Manly and Warriors game. And I do take your point, Mitto, but why can't the referees just blow the whistle? Like, if they blow the whistle, we have no issues. If you're offside, you're offside. You get penalised, you lose the game. Simple as that.
I'm on board with you. I like the way it is. But
I like the Golden Point. I would just love to see a golden try. I just think it would be more.
I'd prefer that, for sure.
I understand where you're coming from, Brad, but there is one issue with that, I reckon, with golden try is that you're going to have teams realising they can give away as many penalties as they possibly like on their own try line because no one's going to be able to kick a penalty goal. And they'll just keep lying over teams all over the ruck, and we only have six against when you get down that end of the field. Mm. So what type of spectacle is that going to be when a team's bashing down the door on a team's line if they just keep lying on the ruck and give away six against, knowing they can't give away a penalty to lose the game?
Yeah, but if you...
That's one unintended consequence of golden try.
But then if you take... If it's only 5 minutes each way, you take the penalty, you go, say, 20 to 18 ahead, you're in pole position to still win the game.
Well, so you're saying that you can still have penalties?
Oh, without a doubt. Yeah, it's still points. Yeah, it's the golden try that puts you ahead. Are we really in 10 minutes of footy going to have three penalty goals kicked? I don't think so.
Yeah. No,
anyway,
you're probably right, but what happens if your team kicks two penalty goals and they get 4 points ahead and still can't win the game? The other team scores a try.
Well, you've got to kick the goal to win the game. Otherwise, it's just the score it's the golden try that puts you ahead.
I just think it's all too complex. Like, I completely take your point, Mitto, about how the referees change the way they officiate the game and players and coaches change the way it goes about. But I've never had a major issue with Golden Point. It is what it is.
I guarantee you none of us will ever agree on it completely.
Yes, that's
no.
The truth.
As is the case in life facets.
In life. Rugby
league. And you'll be with us in the studio tomorrow, mate. So we'll see you then.
See you tomorrow, boys.